Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to this week's Irate Tireless Minority, and a time to give thanks because tomorrow is Thanksgiving. So a happy Thanksgiving to all my listeners in the archive and in the chat. We have Red Fox Radio and Vito Esposito, both of whom have their own shows here on Blog Talk Radio. And both of them, I think, have their own networks, which means that they do shows. They've grouped with other people and they have shows all week long, practically. So if you're interested in finding out about Islam, it's the Radio Jihad Network. And Kel, remind me what yours is called because I always mix up the letters. I think it, but if you just look for Red Fox Radio, you'll find her. Anyway, what would Thanksgiving be in this age of political correctness and destruction of the image of the founding fathers of this nation if we didn't have somebody attempting to do a smear job on the pilgrims? And what we have here is an article in the Washington Post about a movie, The Pilgrims, which purports to tell you the truth about the pilgrims. Now, the truth is that they landed in the wrong place. They were supposed to go and be part of the Virginia colony, which Great Britain had trouble keeping the numbers up on. They went into humongous debt in order to get out of the Netherlands because they wanted to be left alone to practice their religion and be left alone and to be able to raise their children without having them have to see all the other people around them doing bad things and not suffering for it, or maybe they probably were suffering for it, you know, like the people in our age, those who sleep around and become baby daddy and baby mommies instead of parents. Those people are suffering because, gosh darn it, it's hard to be a single mother. And if you're a baby daddy who just goes out and makes a bunch of kids and doesn't support them or actually be a father to them, you lose. You lose at life. You have missed the biggest and best challenge of your life. That's what life is about, raising children and having them grow up to be decent people. And if you miss that, you lose. Jeepers, I'm tempted to say to call them names, but I'm not going to because tomorrow's Thanksgiving. But anyway, we've got this article in the Washington Post. And just to show you the spin on this, you know, they had a horrible time, the pilgrims did, when they came here. They got here just before winter. They had to make, and only 50% of them survived that winter. Now, only a third of them were separatists, so I'm wondering which of the 50% that didn't make it, you know, which group they were in. I'm guessing most of the separatists, which would be the religious pilgrims, were the ones who made it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have such a strong story in here. But I haven't looked it up, so I can't say for sure. But in this article, it says, despite their theological extremism, oddball reputations, and the logistical obstacles to success, the Pilgrims managed to plant themselves in America. It may not be comforting to see even the broad parallels between the Pilgrims and the extremists of the Islamic State. And then they go on to tell you what those parallels are, because you can't think for yourself, God forbid. Both groups shared a sense that the apocalypse was, in the form of the 30 Years' War, or is nigh. But it's true that some small, determined religious movements do actually change the world. Denial, Washington Post. Islam is not a small religious movement. It's huge. It's huge. Do you have any idea how many Muslims there are in the Middle East and in Africa and in Russia? Oh, yes, Russia has a fair number of Muslims. The government doesn't put up with much from them, but there's a fair number of Muslims in Russia. And of course, Europe is being taken over by them. Hardly small. Extremist? Well, if you're saying extreme is something other than fundamentally adhering to the doctrines of your religion, then I suppose you could call them extremists. But they're not. They're fundamentalists. They're doing what Islam is supposed to do. Christians. Some of them are doing what Christians are supposed to do. And I know there are Muslims who aren't doing what Muslims are supposed to do, because they're in, many of them are in denial about what Islam says or what ISIS is doing. And those who value truth and rightness, you know, rightness, I'm losing my mind here, losing my vocabulary at the very least. Those who value the truth and doing the right thing study. They say, hey, they're saying that they are the followers of Islam and that they're doing what Islam says. That can't be true, because I'm a Muslim and I don't agree with that at all. And so they study. And when they discover that, yes, indeed, they are doing exactly what the doctrines of Islam say, guess what they do if they're decent people? They convert. Because that's what decent people do. Theological extremism. Now, you'll remember, those who listen to my show regularly, and you are few and far between, and I thank you for being here, but you will remember that I said extremism is the new term. Religious extremism, particularly bad. Ooh, we got to get rid of that. And religious extremism will be used to exterminate those who don't agree with the PC, politically correct, progressive communist socialist agenda. So get ready for that, because it's coming and it's practically here, and this is more evidence of it. So the Pilgrims, you can find, I've made a link to a site that isn't quite as politically spun, in fact I'm not seeing much political spin on it at all, called pilgrimhallmuseum.org, and they have a bunch of stuff. They have the actual Mayflower Compact, which I would like to read to finish this segment out, because it's pretty short. So I'm going to do that in the name of Thanksgiving, and then I'm going to move on along and talk about the fact that we should be thankful that we can sit over here in America fairly safe and secure and have our Thanksgiving Day and our football games and know that the world is pretty much going to be safe and secure around us for a little while. At least most of us can. And if you're the kind of person who avoids politics and religion at Thanksgiving meal in order not to have friction in the family, stop it. Stop it. These things need to be discussed. Show some courage, like these people who got on a boat for 2 months. If you had a toilet, it was a bucket. Otherwise, it'd just stick your hiney out over the edge of the ship, I would guess, if you can do so discreetly. They got here, they came to the wrong place, and their charter, their permit allowing them to come, wasn't for where they landed. So in order to cover themselves with some sort of order, while they sent back to Great Britain to get another charter from the king, allowing them to stay where they were, because they didn't want to move because it's almost winter. How are they going to get themselves set up for when it's almost winter if they have to take another couple weeks sailing down the coast to get to Virginia? Cool. It may not have taken a couple more weeks. I have no idea. But time is of the essence. And here's the text of the Mayflower Compact. In the name of God, amen. And remember, only 30 or so of these folks were Christians, and yet here's the compact. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And by virtue hereof, to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness whereof, we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, New Style, November 21st, that's in brackets, in the year of the reign of our sovereign lord, King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Domini 1620. Okay, sovereign lord, comma, King James, comma, of England, comma, France, comma, and Ireland, comma, the 18th, comma, and of Scotland, the 54th. I put the commas in because grammar makes a difference in what you're saying. If you just read that all, it might look like they're saying our sovereign Lord King James, and maybe they are, I don't know. But this gives you the option of saying, you know, maybe it's God there. But then they sign their names. And on this site, you can also find, beyond the pilgrim story, you can find links to the names of the people who sailed on the ship, because the only people signing this, ooh, the feminists don't like this, were the men. The men, the heads of household, the men. None of the women are signed on here. None of them. Why? Because women's status was different then. And I know the feminists don't like that. Boo-hoo! History isn't fond of you. Or history doesn't treat you well. And I shouldn't look at the chat room while I'm doing this. Red Fox says, if I say Bigfoot three times, think he'll show up. Bigfoot, Bigfoot, Bigfoot. Happy Thanksgiving to you wherever you are. And Jenna, if you didn't happen to make it to the show. But, yeah. So there's so much about history that if you don't know history, you can twist it and turn it and make it into anything you like. The reason the pilgrims need to be demonized in the eyes of the left is because they set a tone of Christianity for this new country. And they don't like that because Christianity requires that you behave in a certain way and that you be personally responsible and self-reliant, because that's who this country was made for. That's who this government was formed for. People who are self-reliant and personally responsible, not people who are looking for the government to give them a handout. Oh, quick, give me a break on my taxes if I behave the way you want. It's shameful. Shameful. So, you know, study up on the history of the pilgrims, because it's interesting stuff. And here's another article, history.com. William Bradford, the pilgrim leader, was alarmed to learn that some of the others felt no obligation to respect the rules of the pilgrims. In his words, they wanted to use their own liberty. The male heads of pilgrim and non-pilgrim families therefore drew up a compact that bound all signers to accept whatever form of government was established after landing. That was the point of it, to make sure that they're all playing by the same rules. And now there's a bunch of people who want to change the rules. Well, you know, you get to try. And now, oh, goody. Computer is not showing any of my links. Oh, there we go. But I am going to move on, if I can get it to load the link, to tell me what I was gonna talk about next. Oh, gosh. Here we go. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And that is talking, because even though it is Thanksgiving week and the title of the show is A Time to Give Thanks, and quite frankly, I am thankful. I am thankful because our water heater went out and they came and replaced it. I am thankful for indoor plumbing with hot and cold running water. I am thankful for electricity. These things make my life so much easier and better, and I don't have to tough it out like the pilgrims who nearly starved and came through it anyway. So be thankful for what you have, because who knows how long we'll have it. And with that, I move on to the events going on in the Middle East. We had Turkey shoot down a Russian plane. And they're saying it was in Turkish airspace, and but the plane crashed in Syrian airspace, and people are like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, planes move awfully fast. If they're going one way and then they turn around, I mean, they're covering the mileage there. So if you're fooling around on the border, yeah, it's going to be questionable what happened where at those speeds. But what we need to be asking is why. Why did Turkey shoot down that Russian plane? And why was that Russian plane fooling around on the borders of Turkey? Because no matter how much the PC and socialist crowd don't like to acknowledge it, even though they're engaged in it in many cases, the way that nations have typically gained territory is to take it. They take it by war or by colonization, you know, like the pilgrims did. Oh, colonization is bad. Well, actually, colonization was probably better on the England, you know, on the scale of the English people than, oh, I don't know, trying to conquer France again or Scotland or Ireland. Oh, wait, they'd already done that. So they sent out ships to colonize other parts of the world. And in many of them, the population was sparse. And, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And that's how it works. That's reality. You can deny it all you like, but that's how it works. And Mr. Putin, who I read the other night, is prepared to shut off the gas to the Ukraine as winter comes in for the third time since they took over that area. Mr. Putin is looking for something over there. And what is he looking for? I've asked before, why? Why is Syria being drained of its population, over half the population displaced? And yet, ISIS has taken over the oil fields of Iraq and Syria. They didn't just destroy them like you would expect barbarian savages to do. They're working them. They're getting oil out. They're selling that oil somewhere. So whoever is buying that oil from ISIS is prolonging this conflict. Who's buying it? Well, all the rumors I'm looking at are saying that Turkey is buying it. I've got a couple of links, one to International Business Times and one to Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge one is NATO is harboring ISIS, and here's the evidence. It says, for the better part of a year, Turkey remained on the sidelines in the fight against ISIS. You can read it yourself because I'm running out of time here. But that's the Zero Hedge one. The Business Times one talks about the fact that those oil fields are being worked, and they think that they're being sold through Turkey. And Turkey's a NATO country, and Mr. Putin has lost a lot of money in the oil market. And while I'm sure this is not all about oil, because it's not, some of it's about territory, I have no doubt, you have to look at these things. And what else is being sold by Syria to support the war? Gosh, what could it be? Drugs. Not only does do the Muslim countries make money from heroin, from the poppies, the opium poppies, grown throughout Afghanistan in lieu of foodstuffs? Because that was one of the big problems when we went to Afghanistan, is that the people there were so war-torn that they were growing only poppies, because poppies brought them enough money that they could get food from someplace else, and they refused to grow food because food didn't get them enough money, because their neighbors are too poor to afford, you know, to pay very much for food. So they just, those who could afford it, just grew poppies, the whole country. But what else are they selling? They're selling a drug called Captagon. It's a synthetic amphetamine-based pill, and it's a combination of something that breaks down into amphetamine and another drug that pretty much mimics caffeine. And it was originally used to treat hyperactivity and depression. It was developed by... I have a page here. It was originally designed by Degussa AG, a German pharmaceutical company infamous for being the inventors of Zyklon B, which was used to gas people during the Holocaust. So, gosh, those German pharmaceutical companies never cease to keep giving us evil things, although it looks like it's easy enough to make that, at least that's what the articles say, that it wouldn't matter if they'd invented it, somebody else would have. And it's no longer used because of its addictive potential and probably because it makes people do stupid things, although apparently there's quite the black market for it in Saudi Arabia, where women buy it to lose weight, and it's just mind-boggling, all the little interconnected things. And they're saying that the fellas who... shooting up the Bataclan in Paris were on it, they think. But drugs. Really? Come on, people. The world is on drugs, and they're not good for you. Stop abusing drugs. Especially anyone who calls themselves a Christian. If you are abusing drugs, just stop calling yourself a Christian right now. Either that or suck it up and get off them, because I'm sick and tired of the interference of drugs in our nation, in our world. Do I think I get to tell you not to take them, Ron Paul supporters? No, I don't. I think you should have enough personal responsibility to refrain from taking them. How's them apples for ya? The reason we have freedoms is because we're supposed to be personally responsible, because there are consequences for those actions. Oh, the time goes so fast. But, yeah, throughout world history, conquest comes through war. You don't generally treat the losers very well. And people use drugs and behave badly on them. The more things change, the more they stay the same. That's reality. Oh no, if people's basic needs are met, they will suddenly evolve into wonderful, perfect people. No, they won't. Stop it. Your whole philosophy is based on a flawed premise. And now I'm going to, religion. Moving on more to the religion of pieces. And the link there is to the Wikipedia article, List of Islamist Terrorist Attacks. And if you look at that and you go down through, you know, the 50s, 60s, whatever, the lists are ever expanding. Why? Because the United States has stepped out of their role as the world's remaining superpower and said, oh, yeah, I'll take care of yourselves. We don't care what you do, or if you kill each other, or if you barbarically murder each other or use drugs or fight over these things. We just don't want to look like the bad guys, so we're just going to sit and look down our noses while y'all kill innocent people. Because that's what we're doing. There's always a vacuum created if power is abdicated, and if you refuse to be self-reliant and personally responsible, then guess what? There's a vacuum there, too. And most people in America these days are filling it with big government. Stop it. Be Americans. Take care of yourselves. And be thankful that you still have the opportunity to do so. Now, I'm just going to read off the list from October 31st, 2015. Bomb on board a Russian jet brings it down in Sinai, bound for St. Petersburg, killing 224 people. Twin suicide bombings killed 42 people in the city of Beirut. A series of terrorist attacks in Paris kill 136, wound 352. A suicide bomber kills at least 21 at a Shia funeral. A Malaysian national is beheaded by Abu Sayyaf in the southern Philippines. A suicide attack at a market in Yola killed more than 30 people and hospitalized more than 80. The attack is thought to be the work of Boko Haram, also Islamic. A Jewish history teacher was stabbed in the arm and leg by three Islamists in Marseille. A lone wolf Islamist killed two soldiers and injured civilians, three dead, five wounded. Two explosions rock a phone market in Kano, killing at least 15 people and injuring more than 100, Boko Haram suspected. Bamako hotel attack. This is November 20th. Gunmen yelling, Ahalu Akbar, storm a hotel in Bamako, Mali. At least 19 killed, more than 160 taken hostage. This is also November 20th. A suicide bomber detonates inside a Shiite mosque, killing 10 people. Other bombings in the area killed another five. November 21st, suicide bombers affiliated with Boko Haram kill at least 10 in northern Cameroon. 24th, at least 12 people were killed in a bus bombing in Tunis, the capital of Tunisia. ISIS claimed responsibility for this attack that targeted a bus transporting members of the Presidential Guard. The bus was carrying members of the Tunisian Presidential Guard. The blast happened when the vehicle was parked near a main artery in the Tunisian capital, where guard members are typically picked up and dropped off, according to the official in the Prime Minister's office. And there were children killed in that bus bombing. And November 24th, in the November 2015 Sinai attack, which occurred a day after the second round of parliamentary elections closed, militants attack a hotel housing election judges in the provincial capital of Al Arish in Egypt's northern Sinai, seven dead, 10 wounded. And that's why we should be thankful for Christianity and the Christian values that made this country what it is today. That's why we should be thankful for those pilgrims who made their compact, for those pilgrims who managed to survive, and for the pilgrims who followed them up, because they survived for a long time. And then another larger group came, also of separatists, who founded Boston. I've got 2 minutes left. Yep, Vito says, lone wolf Islamist. Quran chapter 4, verse 71, go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether. There is no lone wolf. It's all part of Islam. They are all required to engage in jihad. And if they do not engage in jihad, they still get brownie points for remaining silent about those who do. They are required in their charitable giving to give a percentage of that money to jihadis. So they are materially supporting jihad, whether they are moderate or not. If they are engaging in that giving, they are materially supporting jihad. Doing what's right. Doing what's right in an age of PC revisionist history and terrorist attacks means telling the truth. The truth is that Islam is a murderous, barbaric death cult that waged war on every level upon which it is possible to wage war. The truth is that Christian values are the best platform upon which to build a stable society. The truth is that unless individuals take responsibility for themselves and their own actions, just as in politics, that vacuum will be filled by someone or something else. Big government is not the answer. Self-government, when it is directed by an abiding belief in God, by which I mean the Christian God, leads to a successful, secure, and stable society, inasmuch as any society made up of human beings may be said to encompass those qualities. And with that, happy Thanksgiving, all. We are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we are all supposed to. Thank you, Red Fox Radio, and Vito Esposito for being in the chat. And thank you, Bigfoot, for the many times you've been in my chat. And Jenna, Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, even though you couldn't make it to today's show either. To all those who listen in the archives, stand up, stand for Christian values. Bye-bye.